As a leader of a house, what do my wife expect? What do my children expect? I need to know so yeah. that I deliver what they expect from me. They say on the president need to know what his constituency people expect from him. So as a father, who is my example? It's Jesus. Because Jesus yeah. is the head of a church. The church is the wife of Jesus. What does Jesus do to his church? In Ephesians chapter 5, 23, they say, as a head, what did Christ do to his church? Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So as Christ is my example, he sacrificed. It says, the highest level of love keeps on giving, even when it gets nothing in return, and sits on a good for those he loves, regardless of the personal cost sacrifice.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
Today I'm with Raphael Mukumbwa, and he is a pastor, a teacher, a sekuru, is that what you called it? Sekuru, lots of other things. He's got a school, he's got a ministry, he's organizing Bible studies and a whole lot of things in Malawi. And we're just glad to have him today and talk about fatherhood and what that looks like. Thanks for being here, Raphael.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be joined at this recording. To me, in everything that I do, I want God to get the glory. So I believe our interaction with you will bring glory to the Lord. Because the Bible says, what you know, tell others. Others, let them tell others, so that the truth can be transferred from generation to generation. Thank you very much, Tim.
All right, thanks for being here. So why don't we start? Can you tell us a little bit about your own upbringing, your own father? What was that like for you? Give us some backstory.
I come from a family which is a polygamy family. My father married three wives. My mom was the second wife. And in total, we are 22 children. And in my mom, I'm the fourth child. And because we were so many and my father was not working, our upbringing was very poor. And my mom could sometimes brew beer to sell so that she supports our fees. However, at 12, by God's grace, I got saved. Now, because I got saved, I started speaking the truth to my family member, my father, my mom. They hated me and stopped supporting me. So I started growing some vegetables, sell, help myself with school fees. Until a certain secondary school teacher at high school nearby, because he used to chat with me the word of God, he decided to speak with someone in another county in Malawi to maybe pick me to stay with me because I was struggling and I couldn't continue with school. So I left my district at about 14 years. I went to stay with other people in Deza, in central region of Malawi, close to the capital city. So that's where I had the opportunity to do some school. Then when I went to secondary school, the one who was supporting me with school fees, he passed away. So I started thrashing in the compound of our school teachers. They pay me money. To me, the most important was to pay fees. I didn't mind about soap. I didn't mind about lotion. If I have paid fees, maybe I have a notebook and a pen, that was enough. Then at school where I was learning, at secondary school, it was a mission secondary school. So we had a missionary from Ireland by the name Richard Kerr, now he's a reverend in Ireland. So he saw me that I was a devoted Christian. So when I went to Thrash, later he asked me if I could stay with his house when he went out for a vacation because he found me I was honest. Then later he started paying me fees. Then after I finished school, he employed me to be working with him in the mission work. So there I get a good background because he sent me to ministry. And also he used to teach me the word of God. Despite I was a Christian, I didn't know much the word of God. I needed someone to be close to me. So he was one of the person who mentored me, Richard K., Reverend Richard K. And in 2000, he left Malawi. After I had just married for a year. But we continued being in touch. And I left the work. I came back to my district in Chitipa, where I found my father was old. And also my mom was old. I didn't take into account what they were doing to me. I started supporting them because I was much better than them. So I could support them. Buy fertilizer, because in Malawi we depend on farming. So once you have farm inputs, you have the energy, we go and work for ourselves as labor. So I was always every year providing them farm inputs. From the little business I was doing, as I continued to minister the word of God.
So you were 12, and then
yes.
Then you were 14 when you left your home to
yes.
go to another city.
Yes.
Wow. So you had to grow up young.
Yes, because at the church where I was going, we had someone who was a headmaster, a head teacher at a secondary school. So this headmaster saw what I was going through. He came to our home. He saw what was there. So he realized that there's somebody in Deza who lost his wife. So he thought if I go there, I can help to do some house call, but you can also help to pay me fees and support my education. So it was like mutual assistant. Yeah. So that's how it happened, yeah.
Yeah. So Richard K. was your mentor. Did he become almost like a father figure to you?
He became like a father, because even when I was marrying, he didn't approve the marriage until he came to see that, am I able to support my wife? He checked if our food. I had grown food that year. He checked I had the maize. He came, he checked, do I have a house where to take my wife? He found that I have a house. I built a small house of iron roof near my home. But I bought an independent place. I didn't build at my property, at the property of my parents, because I didn't want them to have control on me or on my wife. Uh-huh. Yeah. Then when I married, each year I have a child, he could send me some clothes, napkins, by post office, and ship by post office, then I could give to my children. And because of the hardship that I encountered, I didn't want my children to encounter that. So I worked hard to help my children. And three of my children have managed to go to university.
Wow.
One is a chemist, is now working. The second one is taking ICT, bachelor's of degree in ICT, is graduating this September. The second one has just gone. She's going to take a bachelor's of science in renewable energy. The other one is a teacher, but she didn't go to university, but she managed to get a diploma. She's now a teacher and also has got a diploma in data management. The other one is a girl. She had problem at school because she was like misbehaving. So her education career got affected a little bit. I think I explained in that note when I wrote you.
Okay.
But I thank God, because we continued driving her, she came back to her senses. Now she's applying for a job, but she has graduated from high school, which you call ordinary level in your country, or level. So
that's fantastic. So
the last one is the one which is to finish the high school this year in June. She's the last born, the girl.
She's 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So tell me about some of the things that you've done as a father. You said, you already mentioned one, and that was that you didn't want your kids to grow up with the kind of hardship that you experienced. Tell me, what did that look like for you to kind of realize that you wanted to help your children in that way? And you've clearly made a lot of sacrifices to give them a better start than you had. Tell me a little bit about that.
Thank you very much. I don't only do to my children, but I also do to all Christians that I meet. When you invited me, I prepared the lesson here, which we say the responsibilities of a man in God's way.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It says, God has made the man to be the head of his family. How does God expect the man to behave in that position? Now, when we talk of God, my first question is, what audience am I dealing with? Is it a Christian audience? Is it an unbeliever audience? If it is an unbeliever audience, I have now to tell them first about salvation, what happened in Eden. Uh-huh. Why do we have troubles? But if now we are believers, that's when I take this lesson to them. Say, there is a big problem today in the family, in Christian family and in unchristian family. This is because men do not know how God wants them to live. Either because they don't read the Bible, or the church they go to, it doesn't teach them, or they don't have someone to disciple them. Men have such important responsibilities in the family. God has pressed them to be the head of a home. But what does it mean to be the head? The responsibility of a husband, if you read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives. So the first thing, I love my wife. I never cheat on her. Mm-hmm. I've never beaten her. When I just married, I had very little patience. If maybe we're having an errand, I could go first in my out of my house. By God's grace, I bought a Toyota Hilux, a car, so I could sit in my car. Sometimes my wife could dray, I could drop. Say, you are draying. So my wife could just do, but I could see she's not happy. So I realized that's not the way to do. So I learned to be patient, to have peace with myself. Not to say, hurry, hurry, I just tell in advance, tomorrow we have this program. I'm thinking we can go together. She'll accept that. And I could just wait for that time. When time is about, I said, you remember? We have such an assignment. So that's the way I handle my wife. First, I love my wife. Now, when I love my wife and she feels I care, she feels I honor, she'll support me whatever I do. She'll stand with me in whatever situation I am in. And when you are even counseling children or you are raising children or you are disciplining children, teaching them, you teach as one with one heart and one mind. So that's how I do. The lesson is wrong. It says, what do you expect the president, I give an example, the leader of your country to do for you? The same as a leader of a house, what do my wife expect? What do my children expect? I need to know that I deliver what they expect from me. The same, the president need to know what his constituency people expect from him. If we go to the president to look after the people as best as he can, to protect them, provide as much as possible, to make the country his priority, to spend the country's money for the country and not on his own pleasures, to be honest, trustworthy, and ready by example. So as a father, who is my example? It's Jesus. Because Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the wife of Jesus. What does Jesus do to his church? In Ephesians chapter 5, 23, they say, as a head, what did Christ do to his church? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Hey, husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So as Christ is my example, he sacrificed. Eh? It says, the highest level of love keeps on giving, even when it gets nothing in return, and sits on a good for those he loves, regardless of the personal cost sacrifice.
Yeah, that's good.
What
yeah,
is
Jesus
love
gave up his life for the good of the church.
Verse 4-7. What does that say? I carried with me the Bible. Do you mind if I read?
Yeah, read it. Go ahead.
Okay. That is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. It says, charity, which is love, suffers wrong and is kind. Charity, which is love, envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. So, in a family, it's love. Christ loved the church. I have to love my wife. Love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. Love does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps on record of wrong, keeps no record of wrong, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, and preserves. Husband, you are to love your wives. I believe I'll share you this copy.
Yeah, no, you did. That's, I love that. So you've been able to take the scripture and see God as your father and mimic Christ in how you love your wife. And that's how you changed your perspective on what you grew up with, and you changed the trajectory of your whole family because God has infiltrated your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the same point. Sorry, I've cut you. On the same point, when you go to children, I take a story of a prodigal son. In Luke 15, the father had how many children? You remember how many? Two.
Two, didn't he? Yeah.
Two children, an elder and a younger one.
Yeah.
Now, this father, if you read very well, he loved all children the same. But one, at the beginning, seemed to be very misbehaving. He went to ask for an inheritance from his father. The father was not happy to give that inheritance because he didn't deserve it. But he didn't want to force the boy to love him. But instead, he gave him what he wanted. But when he gave, he hoped that this son one day will come. Just as God expects every sinner that one day come. No matter whether it will take consequences, one day will come. How do we know he was expecting? Because when the son was coming home, the father didn't question, didn't remind him, you did this, you did this. He just went and hugged him. There I also learned a lot about God's love. This boy didn't deserve any other inheritance at the father, but the father killed him a bull, gave him a cloth, invited him home. This boy was humble. He said, I want just to be a servant. I don't want to be your son. That was humility. Many times, many of us, we feel we deserve a lot, like the elder son. Then when this son was welcomed, when the elder son came, he was not happy. So was he born again? No. Because if he was born again and if he loved his brother, he would have rejoiced with his father. Many of us, we don't rejoice with God. When a sinner comes to him, we start questioning. So because of that, I also learned that the way God treats his children, I have to treat my children. He doesn't do tit for tat, but he gives us grace and mercy. So that's what I do to my children. So Christ gave me an example how to love my wife. The illustration by Christ about the prodigal son teach me how to handle my children. Yeah, that's what I wanted to emphasize.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good. I haven't heard that application of the prodigal son to parenting, but that makes a lot of sense. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. What else did you do with your family as they were growing up? Now, they're a little bit older. I know you loved them well. What practical things did you do with them as they were growing? Did you, I don't know what you guys do in Malawi. I don't know what your pastimes are, if you spend time together or...
Yeah, what I do with my family, evening, we could sing together songs, running over, my cup is full and it's running over. So every child sings this song, Chisefuka, in our language, Chisefuka, my cup is full and it's running over. After that, we read the Bible, we sing a song, and we pray, then we go to bed. So every child, I bought a Bible, he reads, she reads. Then I tell them, when you go to school, don't copy what your friends are doing. We are Christian, maybe they are not Christians. So when you are there, don't do what those non-Christians are doing. So when they come home, I most of the time I used to go and pick them because they started school at 3 years. Because I and my wife were busy, so even school was part of raising them there. So when they come, they could illustrate to us what was happening, tell us stories, what the teacher was saying. So as we listen, then we could know there it was good, there it was bad. Then I had one boy, he's a giant. Uh-huh. Him, when his friend just provoked, we could beat. So he said, Father, somebody provoked me, I beat him. Then I will say, you are a child of God. You know what? You don't do like that. We love them. If someone provoke you, you go and tell your teacher. If you can't tell your teacher, come and tell me, then me, I'll meet the parent of that boy. So I used to meet teachers. How are my children doing it? They tell me. They would tell me, your children are behaving very well. So I would know we are giving them the right counsel. Sometimes the friends of the parent of my children who are friends to my children, I would visit them as well. Even sometimes give them gifts. Then we grew like that. Yeah, sure.
That's great. So when you guys sang and prayed, did you do that every night or did you do it once in a while or did you, what was your, how often did you do that?
When they were young, I was doing almost every day. But as they grew, I didn't want to be legalistic. I wanted them to do intentionally. That's why I bought them a Bible, gave them. Everyone, the girls have their own room. The boys have their own room. We have our own room and the visitor's room. So they are free to read in their room together, their children, themselves. But also I bought a hymn book. They could sing for themselves. Yeah. But I didn't teach them any instrument because I didn't buy any instrument or guitar or piano. Up to now, we are trying to buy one, but we haven't because school fees came in. So I have to control some of the things. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thanks for sharing all the things about fatherhood. Now, I want to talk a little bit about all the things you're doing. So you said that you're running a school, is that right?
Yes.
Tell me about some of the ministry things that you're doing right now. So you've got the school. What is that? Yes. Tell me about the school a little bit.
school is called Paradox Institute of Technology.
Okay.
In Cocorage. And it was registered in 2011. It started administering exams in 2013. We work with churches. And we were also working with a United States church called Peachtree Presbyterian Church in Ronas. But okay. They were working with the Malawian coordinator. So we worked with them for about 4 years. But their coordinator, I didn't know they were cheating. When the U.S. give them money, they were not paying us.
Oh.
So we had about 81 students from Peachtree. But this student came from various churches, sponsors, selected by pastors from various churches. So we are taking the most poor one, who are vulnerable, who can't support themselves. So we are training them in carpentry, bricklaying, electric installation, ICT, and I was also doing discipling them.
Okay. Did you start this school?
Yes, I'm the founder of the school.
Okay.
Because it's me who identified the need.
So you've been doing it for 14 years now, is that right?
The school was since 2011. Then officially started administering the exams in 2013. The government recognized us, Then people can't pay fees, of course. They are poor. As I say, I'm in the remote district. They are poor. So that's why Peachtree, they saw some post on the Facebook. Then their pastor, we call Pastor J. Madden, the one who was commenting. So I wrote him, then he coordinated with his people in Malawi. There are three of them. Well, at the end, they had to run with the money. They were not remitting all the monies, and they left some debts here.
So then, where do you get funding now?
At this time, we don't have any funding.
So how do you keep going? Are you working for free?
Normally, I have an organization called Good Hope Ministry, which support my travel for going out, outreach programs. Then I also have one building property which people rent, so they give me money.
So you got some sources of income.
Yeah, so the source of income that I get is around, if I can convert it to United States dollars, it's around, I think, $400.
Yeah. So what is it what do you need? How do you admit students? You said the students don't pay fees to go to your school.
What we do is they pay, but at a subsidized rate.
Okay.
Because to train a student, it may take about $200 for 8 months for each student. And $200 per student. Then the government will charge that student to pay examination fee, which that doesn't go to the school, because that is tuition. But we have examination fee that goes to government, which is about, $2 for examination fee that a child has to write at the end of a training session of 8 months.
Yeah.
Which comes $2 and that is $202, something like that. So that's what we do. So we ask the student maybe to pay maybe 10% or 20%.
Uh-huh.
So if they can manage, the church has identified them, then they come to our school. Now, what does tuition do? Tuition, we develop an Excel which detail that how much will go for instructors, how much you go for, in a technical school, it's learned by doing. We don't just do theory. It is a carpenter. He needs some timber, tools. Yeah.
Yeah.
And normally the school has got some tools, but mainly we talk of consumables, like timber. We make benches. Then for electrical, we get cables. We demonstrate. I think you can see on my wall there, there's a meter, a domestic meter there. You can see a small. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I see it.
Yeah. So a student will learn like that. First year, we teach them about domestic installations, how they can install electricity in their houses, how they can fix plugs. Yeah. So we have a workshop. It's just behind me where every student is to go there. Then in bricklaying, we teach them modules, different types of modules like Flemish, English bond, those type.
You and also
English bond, yeah. When we are building, the type of bricks. Some bricks we cross, some bricks we put like this. We build bricks according to the type of structure you want. Let me say you are building a septic tank. You don't build a septic tank the way you build a house wall. You understand?
Right. Yeah. No, I do understand. So you teach them different types of masonry.
Yes, something like that. Exactly. I don't know your background. Right. I was trying to explain so that you get an understanding.
You're okay. No, you're good. I know a little bit about construction, but it's different. You know, the way you guys build stuff there is different than what we do here. We build a lot of things out of sticks, you know, out of 2x4s. And so we don't build a lot of things out of bricks or clay or, you know, so it's different type of construction. So masonry. So you do masonry, electrical, carpentry. What else do you do over there?
ICT, computer lessons.
Okay.
Yeah, ICT, where we involve communication. What we want is these people, when they go, they should be able to communicate.
Yeah.
Be able to relate with the real situation there, how to go about invoice and the like, yeah. So we teach that. Then we also do discipling these kids. We don't want them to go and marry. You know, in our culture, people marry. When they have money, they get 2-3 wives in our culture. Not in God's culture, but in our culture. Right. But in God's culture, we know one wife, one man. So we teach them, when you have money, it's good. You can support your church. You can support some evangelist. So we teach them like that. So we have Monday and the Friday is for discipling. Yeah. Then Sunday.
How long do the students come to school? Do they come all day or do they just come once a week? Or how often do they go to the school?
Monday to Friday.
Okay. So they come every day, Monday through Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, some they even sleep at the school here, those who come from far, because some come 120 kilometers away. So we have to provide them the housing, but that's a different boarding part to those who come far. But those who come nearby, they walk. Yeah, they walk.
Do you have a website or anything like that for your school?
What?
Do you have a website?
Website? No, we don't. We don't have, but I have just a Facebook page.
You have a Facebook page?
Yeah,
what's your Facebook page for the school?
Paradox Institute of Technology. Paradox Institute of Technology.
Can you send me a link for that?
Yeah, I can send right now. I think in my phone here. Should I send to your email or so?
Yeah, you can send it to my email.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very interesting.
So, okay, so you've got the school. And then what else are you doing? You said you've got Bible ministry also. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, another interesting thing that I can tell you is when we are working with the Irish missionary, we used to help coffee farmers.
Okay.
Coffee farmers. We were buying processed clothes.
Who's we?
With the Irish missionary that I told you.
Okay.
Before I went to Chitipa, we used to buy the clothes and export it to Ireland.
Okay.
It was normally advertised in a church, so people would buy coffee with an aim to support the farmer. Then when I came in my district where coffee is grown, when I say district, I mean a county, in my remote where coffee is grown, I discovered that the price we were buying and what they were paying farmers was not good. So I found that they were cheating my people. So I had a meeting with the tribal leaders and the people in Misuku Hills. So we agreed that we should sell ourselves coffee. So we took coffee and shipped it to Ireland. I mean to Belgium.
To where?
To Belgium. To someone. Who is now in the Netherlands, but the coffee had to go through Belgium.
Okay.
What I discovered is they paid us 20%. We shipped them a container of coffee. The other man never came. That was the cross of the project. So you ship. By that time, it was 54,000 dollars. Worth a container, but they paid us $20,000, meaning $34,000 went into the water. So I realized that maybe God don't want me to go in that way. So what I did is to recover that money, and also the money that we lost from the school, we sold the property that I had. So that I live in peace with people. I sold it. Then I started praying. Maybe for 3 months. Why? And that's when I realized God wanted me to be full-time sharing God's word, not to concentrate much on more like business. Yeah. So my life, it's not what I want, but it's what God wants. That's when I was praying, I came to know another person in the United States who helped Stephen and Moses to get converted. Kevin Johansson? From Chicago. But now has moved to Texas. This man is a serious Christian. Him too started following what I'm doing here, and he discovered that I go to prison. Then he said, no, I want to link you to Emmaus Correspondence School so that you study prison material and also study Bible study material. So I studied 60 books with them that he paid for me from United States. It costed him about $500. So, through Kevin, that's how I came to know Stephen Morris. Now you can see that God connect people whom I never know them. But why did this Kevin came to be interested? Because Kevin came and worked in my area, but he came to know me after he left my area.
Huh.
He worked with the people who cheated me. They also cheated him. So when he realized that these people have cheated me, he started counseling me during that period, sharing Bible verse, what. So God, I saw that he loves me. He directs me, but sometimes using circumstances. Yeah. So that's the other thing I can talk to people in my life. I can talk of Richard Kerr. in my early upbringing. Mm-hmm. Also in my ministry, I can talk of Kevin Johansson.
He lives in Texas?
You said?
You said Kevin lives in Texas?
He lives now in Texas. He has moved to Texas.
You know what
but
part of Texas
he lives from Chicago.
Do you know what part of Texas he lives in?
You said?
Do you know what part of Texas he lives in or what city he lives in Texas?
He has just moved recently, but I have his email address, though he doesn't respond very much in email. But we communicate. Even last week we talked. He said God is reaping the harvest. He sent me an email because I have an email from Kevin here. He says, yes, doing well. God is reaping a harvest all around this town. Never thought I would be working this hard during this season of my life. What did I write to him? I said, for your information, we have been in contact with Paul David Kira, the brother you had mentioned and introduced us. By the grace of God, he decided to send us a gift of money. We thank God for the provision to our need through him. May you please continue to pray for our relationship with Paul, that it should always be to the glory of God. I pray and trust you are settling well in your new location, and I found and have found fellowship with the brethren there. God bless you. Lafa Timothy Mkumbo Achitipa Malawi. Yeah, so he responded that. Yeah. Sure. You are welcome to come to Chitipa as well. If you need, you
can that. I appreciate that. What's so tell me about your Bible ministry. You said you have you're trying to get Bibles to people around your area. Is that right? Tell me about that.
What happened as I was ministering, saying house to house, I found that many families don't have the Bible. Many families don't know the scriptures, including pastors.
Yeah.
I saw that, I observed that, I live among them. So I wanted to bring a Bible culture. But I knew if I go to the church to preach, they will have limited time. So every day, Monday to Saturday. Saturday is for prison. Monday to Friday is for field. I go in villages, village after village. Where I establish a Bible study group and give them a Bible lesson. For the youth, I give them this. You can see this? This is for the youth. And I also do translation in my office here. You can see that computer for translation. This is for adults, Bible study group. So we have book one, book two, book three, and the... We also have answers from the Bible. So,
did you make those? Did you make them? Or did you get them from somewhere?
People share with me.
Okay.
As I say, when people like Good Hope, they saw me doing this, so they shared with me. Also, Emmaus share with me the Bible. Then we also have this protecting our children. So my duty here is to translate those. So Good Hope also helped me with this New Testament Bible. Yeah. So this New Testament Bible, I give to every group, which is about 30 people per group.
Okay.
So I give maybe 5 Bible, or I give New Testament. But the big one, like this one, in our language, Lambia Bible, this one, maybe in a year I can distribute 30 to leaders who have shown commitment. And we also keep a register. We keep a register of every group. Normally, we have this register. You can see it here. It's a month. Here's a name. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4 boxes. So in a week we say they meet once. So they will always tick. So when they start a lesson, anyone who comes, they tick. So this helps us to know who we can give a Bible, because commitment will be seen by this register. But we tell them, don't put an X, because that would be hard. Just put a dash to that someone who doesn't come. But the one who comes, you tick.
Yeah.
So I have 500 Bible study groups in various villages. And I do this work for 3 weeks in a month. The third week, I sit in my office to see how things are going about. I also write report, like Good Hope, give me some money for travel. I have to tell them where I went and what I did, what lesson I taught.
Where's Good Hope out of?
Is in Canada.
In Canada?
In Canada. We have a base in Mzuzu, in northern region. So they asked me to help them in Chitipa district, because by that time they didn't reach Chitipa district. So I accepted, because to me, I found that I shared with them our mission statement. My mission statement is, we preach Jesus Christ crucified, the power and wisdom of God. To me, I talk about Christ, because salvation is only in Christ. So anybody supporting about Christ, to me, is my brother, is my sister. Yeah. But I also teach that we have doctrine, which in title they say, let people teach sound doctrine. So we need people to teach sound doctrine. So I started sharing this Bible so that people understand the sound doctrine.
Yeah, no, that's good. So let me ask you this.
The relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. No, right on. What is the things that you need, or what are your plans for the future? What do you want to see happen? And how do you see those happening?
If I can take this computer outside, I can show you some classes. Do you mind if I walk around?
Yeah, that sounds great. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I'll remove the mic. I'll use the mic for the laptop. But I have to show you around the place where I am. So I'll be moving. This is my office. That is a photocopier for exams. That's a computer. This is another backup computer, where I put local language here. I think you can see the computer here.
I see it.
It's for local language. This is another copier for backup. So here, where you see dark here, there are boxes for missionary. These are books that I give to study groups. Like here you can see Lambia is my language. Lambia GBL1. GBL means Great Bible Lesson 1. We have translated this. So we do write here in my place. So I carry these boxes to various terrain, but we don't have a mission track to travel around. Then I'll also show you some Bibles that I distribute, but I keep it on my office behind here. So here we don't have electricity. We didn't finish our building. These are Bibles, New Testament Bible that I give. This is Lambia. This is Tumbuka. We have two languages that we distribute, Lambia and Tumbuka. Are you able to see this?
I can see it. I can see the boxes.
Then I have also Reading Glasses site for those in greatest need. You can see the Canada people send me these glasses. So when I distribute a Bible, someone has got a reading challenge. We give
their eyesight.
Eyeglass, yeah. Okay. I don't know where I put my keys are here. Sorry. So this is the Paradox Advent.
Yes.
Recreate. Carpentry, electrical installation, and up there you can see a student there doing some work.
Yeah.
So I go outside. I close the door because I didn't want somebody to disturb me. So this is the campus. To my left here is a workshop.
Okay.
Electrical. This one. You can see it here.
Yep.
This one is a, where we keep students who have come from far.
This is where they sleep.
From far, this one.
That's where they sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is a school campus where I'm traveling. That is a latrine.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.